You're listening to the Hockey 411 podcast with your host, Brian Anderson. Hello and welcome to the Hockey 411 presented by SeatGeek. Use the code THEHOCKEY411 to get $20 off your first purchase at SeatGeek.com. This week we are talking Winnipeg Jets from Winnipeg Sports Talk. Michael Remus, I think this is your third time on the pod here. Michael, welcome back.
Yeah, hey, thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
It's always nice to talk Jets here. And look, when we're talking about the Winnipeg Jets as of this recording, my God, this team has become a wagon here in the first part of the year, losing one game as of this recording. Just incredible stuff. You make a coaching change, everything. And it's funny, I've seen a bunch of tweets ever since Paul Maurice in the Cup Finals was like, if I could bring one back to Winnipeg, that would be great. This team has taken off since that quote. What have you seen with this team that has changed this year? Obviously, it's a new coaching staff, but it's really the same core players that we've seen for years here in Winnipeg. And you're getting the goaltending, you're getting the goal scoring. My only caveat here is this Winnipeg team has kind of done this before, really hot start out of the gate, and you kind of lose some gas as the season goes along, and towards the end you're kind of sputtering in the playoffs. But as of right now, this team is on top of the league. This is the best team by far, top power play. What have you seen that has really clicked this season compared to others?
The one thing for me that's clicked is they haven't taken any nights off. It's been the same team every game, very consistent. You know, they play hard, they forecheck. They've got this dominant third line that doesn't allow any goals against. Elite goaltending in Connor Hellebuyck, great scoring. But they've had maybe one bad game, and that was the game they lost. And Hellebuyck stole one last week against Colorado. So, you know, and that game they lost to Toronto, came out flat and made it a one goal game by the end. So every game they've looked exactly the same, no nights off. The power play has been the biggest difference. They came, you know, last couple of years, special teams been bottom third of the league. They had hired two new special team coaches in Davis Payne power play and Dean Chenoweth and penalty kill, seemed to have revamped things there, which has led to success. The power play, you know, last week was number one in the league, still going very strong. And again, the elite goaltending, strong five-on-five play. There's not just one thing. There's many things coming together. But if I had to say the biggest thing is they just play very consistently. You know what you're getting every night, and haven't taken any games off, combined with elite goaltending and a lethal power play that is still number one in the league at 42.2%. Second in the league is Colorado, 33.3%. So it's been incredible. This start 15-1, can't really believe what we're watching here.
You mentioned the power play. I mean, the power play is just humming right now. It is quick passes, good support. You always have two guys to pass to when you have the puck. It's really something to behold. And if you get a chance to just, if you're a youth hockey coach or any kind of coach, you want to see how you can really have a power play click, take a look at Winnipeg's. I highly recommend it. But you mentioned goaltending multiple times there. And let's talk about Connor Hellebuyck, because he got the contract. He wanted to stay long-term here in Winnipeg. He has a goals saved above expected of a 7.2. That is tied for second with Igor Shesterkin. His GAA is 1.83. I mean, this man consistently comes up with save after save. He's consistently top two in the league. Yes, I'm willing to say top two, if not the top goalie, year after year. We talk about the elite goaltenders, especially the Russian machine of goaltenders between, you know, Sorokin, Shesterkin, Vasilevsky, all these guys coming in and just dominating the goaltending position. Yet when you look at it, Connor Hellebuyck has outdueled Jake Oettinger, who is going to be fighting him for the U.S. spot. Igor Shesterkin recently, every goaltender that you can kind of think of within the last 6 months, he's totally outdueled. And I don't know what it is and how he's kept it so consistent, but when you have a good defense core, I mean, look, on paper, this defense core probably could be better. Let's be honest here, but he's backstopping and making these saves. And it's nothing against this Winnipeg Jets defense corps. We've just kind of seen better names on paper in the past with this organization. But for Hellebuck to continue to night in and night out, and the workload he's gotten, I mean, how many times have we saw Paul Maurice just run him into the ground, or the coaching staff in general just run him into the ground? It is fantastic to see him consistently be at the top guy. And, you know, like we talk about Carey Price and these accolades that he's had in these unbelievable seasons, I'm going to come out with a hot take. I think Connor Hellebuck's starting to get into that stratosphere.
Well, he's got two Vezina trophies already. They won the Vezina last year. The Jets also won the Jennings, as lowest goals allowed among all teams. And the thing about Connor Hellebuck is if he can see the puck, he's going to stop it. They haven't allowed a lot of on-man rushes. And I know he got some criticism, you know, with all the goals he allowed in the playoff series against Colorado last year, but not for me. There was nothing he could have done. The defense fell apart. They're entering the zone out well. Cross-ice pass after cross-ice pass. Tip plays. He had no chance. But, you know, if he can see the puck, he's going to stop it, and he's going to make some extra saves as well. You saw that tonight against the Rangers. He just plays very solid, great positionally, and he doesn't miss. And, you know, I've heard commentators on our show talk about their own goaltenders and say, oh, you know, every goalie lets in a couple that they'd like back. No, not Connor Hellebuck. He stops them all, has maybe had like one bad goal. We've been very spoiled here in Winnipeg watching him play over the last couple of years because he saves everything. Bad goals are very, very rare, and it's been a treat to watch. And, you know, you're watching an all-time great goaltender, just hit 40 career shutouts. He's moving up the all-time ranks of that, all-time ranks of wins. He's going to be, I don't know, top like 20 goalie when his contract with the Winnipeg Jets is done in a number of key major categories. And yes, you look, he's got the triple crown right now in the NHL. Goals against, number one. Save percentage, number one. Shutouts, number one. So you're watching a phenomenal goaltender. And the only shame for Jets fans is that he's not Canadian. We're all ramping up for the Four Nations Cup. Workload, certainly a concern. He's played, you know, 60 games plus the last three seasons. He's going to get a couple more Four Nations games for Team USA. He's going to be number one. The fans here in the game against Dallas on Saturday chanting at Jake Ottinger, U.S. backup. And then he got pulled. So I can see Hellebuck being number one. And it's going to be tough for the Jets fans here, you know, when he's on Team USA against Team Canada and the Four Nations. So that'll be exciting. But this is an all-time great goaltender in the middle of, you know, possible back-to-back Vezina season. And the thing for him, too, is I don't think he's ever been injured. He's been healthy every season, knock on wood. And that's one thing for the Jets, too, in this start. They haven't had any major injuries. You know, Colorado was here last week. They got like two lines. All injured. He's been pretty lucky here for injuries, and the Jets defense last year didn't have any somehow. And you know what? I think Kyle Connor was out last year, but again, everyone healthy. And I mean, that's huge, you know, throughout an 82 game season. I don't know if that's going to last. We'll have to wait and see, but certainly contributing. We don't have the injury troubles that some other teams have had around the league.
It's really incredible that we have not seen any signs of fatigue with Connor Hellebuck. The biggest example I can use is Jacob Markstrom, one of the years in Calgary where he played 60-plus, and the minute the playoffs started ticking, you saw fatigue. He looked tired. I've yet to see that with Connor Hellebuck after all these years. But there's one thing I got to talk about here to switch gears. It's the power play. You know, you were hinting at it there. Let's get into the power play here. Another thing that's not showing signs of fatigue and signs of slowing down. We hinted at it before, always having two guys right around the puck, good outlet passes, good zone entries. I mean, really, this power play went top to bottom, at least the first unit right now that I'm looking at, Ehlers, Vilardi, Connor, Scheifele, Morrissey, that's as good as it gets. You know, Vilardi is the straw that stirs this drink here. And then you can come back at it, and you can put Niederreiter, Nemestikov, and Iafallo, along with Pionk, who's very good puck-moving offensive defenseman here. And Colperfetti, you got the kid up top. I mean, this is a power play that, at least in terms of both units, that can come after wave, obviously there will be some sort of slowdown at some point. Teams are going to start to figure it out. just natural here, regression back to the mean. But overall, you want to talk about success, a lot of their wins have come off the power play here.
Yeah, it's been absolutely huge when you can take advantage at 40%. And just to show you what it was last year, bottom of the league, 22nd at 18.8%. So more than double percentage. And Rick Bonus said after the season, you know, the special teams where you're ranking in the bottom third in power play and penalty kill, that's going to be the difference between where they finished and, you know, possible winning the, you know, the present, sorry, the Western Conference championship. So first in the West in the regular season. And so they changed the coaching staff. Davis Payne came in. And one thing they did is what fans have wanted for a long time is to see Nikolai Ehlers be given a chance on the first power play unit. He's got a great shot. He can skate. He can enter the zone just as well as some of the top players in the league. And so there you have that. And you look at the power play last year, at times it was static. They're standing still. They're passing it around. Nothing's open up. It's just a lot of passing and standing still. Now there's movement. There's options. You know, guys are interchanging positions. You have a healthy Gabe Vilardi. And, you know, when he was hurt last year, the power play was not effective. And, you know, he's the big body in front with hands. And, you know, you have Scheifele and Connor who can shoot, Morrissey who can shoot. So every player seems to be a threat to score. And they're not trying to set up, you know, one guy. So they're all moving. You know, Nikolai Ehlers, I think, adds another, you know, dynamic that they didn't have because they hadn't used him on the power play one ever. He scored zero power play goals last year, and we're 16 games into this season. I think he's got four. I'm just going to double check that. But, yeah, that it's certainly been a huge part of their wins, being able to score with the man advantage. Sorry, he's got three power play goals this year. He's zero last year. So it's been going pretty well on the power play. Certainly a big part of the success. They always had talent, and you were wondering, why can't this power play score when you have shooters like Scheifele and Connor? But, I mean, with the new coaching staff, seemed to unlock potential that you thought that was there before. Maybe not 43% success rate, and I don't expect that to last, but enjoy it while you can, and I'm sure it'll go down a bit, but they're still first in the league, and it's been incredible to watch.
You know, you mentioned the coaching staff, and you bring in Scotty Arneil, essentially, who's been around a while here in the league, has had some previous ties here with the Jets. What have you seen him kind of bring to the table? He's unlocked different elements of this team here, especially in the top six, but I'm curious to see what your thoughts are on him. And look, there was some pushback on bringing him in to be the head coach. You know, a couple prominent Twitter accounts, so guys, former guys in the league, but like, I don't know about this one, you know, kind of questioning it. But right now, he looks like a genius.
Yeah, Scott Arneil coached with the organization here in Manitoba Moose, you know, late 2000s, 2006 to 2010. They had a lot of success, lost in the Calder Cup final, made the playoffs every season. He was assistant, you know, got a head coach opportunity with Columbus, didn't work out, and spent many years associate assistant coach with the Rangers, the Capitals, and then most recently with the Jets. I think he's just picked up where Rick Bonus has left off. They've, you know, built a foundation the last couple of years, changing the culture, bringing strong defensive play in, and now special teams. He seemed to identify areas where they needed help. He brought in some guys who knew how to coach, who had success in the past, coaching power play, coaching penalty kill. And they've done that. And as far as the lines, he's kept together the third line, Lowry, Niederreiter, Appleton. He hasn't really had to do a lot in terms of lines. We keep laughing every single day. They're all the same. I'm sure that's the only team in the league that literally has had no line changes all season. That's, they've been an elite defensive line. They've allowed one goal against at 5-on-5, contributing, you know, a little bit offensively as well. He's certainly pushed all the right buttons. He has, you know, moved things around in that Colorado game when it wasn't working. The players seemed to like him, and he talked a lot coming into the season if there was questions about how things ended up for him in Columbus. And he said, look, that, you know, he didn't really know what he was doing. It was his first time as an NHL head coach. It's been over 10 years since then. He's grown as a person. He's learned a lot. I think he learned under Rick Bonus. And he had experience you know, Rick Bonus was away for health reasons the last couple of years, and he stepped in and the team played well. So I think it was a natural fit, and they've kind of just been building and building. There's been a lot of continuity on the roster as well. Pretty much no changes from, you know, the opening day roster last year. You know, Monahan, Toffoli, they traded for midseason. They're not back, but the only regulars who didn't return from last year, Brandon Dillon, who's with New Jersey now, and Nate Schmidt, who was healthy scratch throughout the year. I think that's a big factor as well. I mean, you look at Nashville, you thought they would be much better with all the big free agent signings. I think it just shows you that it's tough to bring in new guys, and the Jets have just been building and building, but there's a lot of questions. You know, even if they are 51, okay, can they get it done in the playoffs? But, I mean, 15-1, pretty unbelievable. You got to celebrate that, and, you know, we'll see what happens, but you got to be excited about where, you know, what you've been watching. And, yeah, I would think Scott O'Neill, Jack Adams candidate. Didn't think you'd say that, you know, before the season, but this has gone just about as well as you could expect. It's crazy.
Scott O'Neill, Jack Adams was definitely not on my bingo card at the beginning of the year. I wouldn't have pictured the start, but you were hinting at the third line there. And I got to talk about this third line because of what the three of them kind of bring to the table here. Nito Niederreiter, your wily vet. Adam Lowry, who brings the punch. Mason Appleton, great skater. These guys have let up one goal all year. You know, the only other line is the Rangers' third line here that they went toe-to-toe with tonight, and they haven't allowed one this year. So the fact that you can kind of trust, A, your captain, B, guys who have been in the league for a bit now that can go out and shut down the line, or, you know, say you get scored on and you're like, I'm looking for some juice. I know where to go. Let me go to my third line. Let me go to my old reliable. Get out there, you know, just calm the guys down. Just go to work. Bring your hard hat, bring your toolbox, go to work. Like it's like you're showing up for a construction site. That's how I always like to describe these kind of lines and what they've been able to do to generate offense. And, you know, you can keep the team pinned in your offensive zone, and then boom, first line's following you right then and there. You need lines like this to A, be successful late in games, and B, win games in playoff games as well. It's not just about regular season, but you need lines like this to win playoff games. I mean, how many times can we quote the HBK line from those Pittsburgh teams? You know, you have your speed skater with good skill, your wily vet, and then you have, you know, your strong power forward there, and it's eerily similar here. I can't believe I'm kind of bringing that line up, but you can see the similarities between the two, and I know it's a little early, but you can see the similarities between the talent, the guys stirring the drink here. Just overall, this has been a real go-to line. Like, I almost consider their second line right now.
At times, they are the second line. You know, when you look at minutes, that was a big debate, you know, for the first, you know, last year and even the first part of this year, saying, okay, I think this third line is actually the second line because they're matching against opponents' top lines and they're getting more minutes. Maybe they're not your traditional second line as far as a scoring line goes. That would be, you know, the Nemestikov, Perfetti, Ehlers line. But these guys go out in all situations, penalty kill, 5-on-5. You know, not as Niederreiter's only guy there on the power play. But, you know, you have Adam Lowry, big centerman. Niederreiter, he's, you know, big body. He gets in the corners. And when they traded for him a couple years ago, they didn't really have that type of skill set who could play. You know, he could play it up and down the lineup, but lately it's been, you know, the last bit, it's been mostly on that third line. He's got hands. He's scored 20 goals, you know, just about every season that he's played. And Appleton, he's the speedster on that line. He can get in the corners as well. So they're all kind of like-minded. They can chip in a goal from time to time, but most importantly, they play hard, as you said, you know, pin the puck in the offensive zone, don't let it out, and they don't get scored on. So you can trust those guys basically any time. And I'm in the playoffs, Adam Lowry scored more in the playoffs than the regular season. 2 goals in 5 games last year, 5 points in 5 games the year before. Unfortunately, the team success hasn't been there, but this line has been, you know, solid anytime you put them on the ice.
They really have. It's one of my favorite lines to watch when there's a game on. Just throw them out in any situation. Totally comfortable if you're a Jets fan seeing them out on the ice. I do got to talk about one guy, though, who has continued to dominate ever since he landed in Winnipeg. And it's kind of wild to think back at this trade And he was the main key piece of the Pierre-Luc Dubois trade. And, you know, it always looked like, you know, we're losing PLD. I don't know about this. But Gabe Vilardi has been an absolute wagon. The guy continues to put up points. The skill is just through the roof. He has really taken that next step in his development. Perfect example, hand-eye coordination, the ability to find soft ice. Great, all from one play in the game against the Rangers here. You know, you tip the puck out of the air and you go, boom, I know where my guy is. Let me go backdoor and find soft ice. It takes good hockey IQ to find that. And that's what Gabe Vilardi has brought. Rasmus Kupari, Alex Iafallo both have had good impacts on this organization here. But really, it's been Gabe Vilardi. And look, the way the PLD stuff has worked out, the Jets look like bandits, you know, robbing LA here right now.
Yeah, certainly laughing. Iafallo playing a big role on the fourth line. He's played up and down the lineup. Kupari was injured a lot last year, but he scored. He didn't score at all last year. He's already got two this season. And look, you know, losing PLD, he's a center. You know, there's some questions about Nemestikov's, you know, long-term ability to play second-line center, but, you know, he's been pretty good so far. But Gabe Vilardi brings a skill set that, you know, they didn't have a lot of. He's a big guy. He can go into the corners. But as you mentioned, you know, he goes to the net. He's got soft hands, and he can score. And you saw that on the goal against the Rangers, you know, tips the puck out of the air. Nice pass to Scheifele. Scheifele gives it back and tap in on the power play. Has had a huge impact at the front of the net or, you know, just off to the side. You know, he's got the hands. He can score from there, or he can make really nice passes to back to Scheifele or to Nikolaj Ehlers in the slot there. So he's been a really big addition, big positive. You know, he battled injuries last year. He took a cheap shot from Blake Lizotte a couple games into the season. He had some illness last year that was not hockey related, where he had to miss a number of games, and he had the back injuries in LA. It all seems to be behind him. He's healthy. He's playing well. He's also an RFA after the season, so we're expecting him to get a big raise. So, you know, every goal he scores is a big success. But, 22 last year and 47. We thought he could hit 30, you know, maybe 40 if healthy. Well, he's got 7 and 16 now, 7 assists, 14 points in 16 games. So it's going very, very well. And he was off to a bit of a slow start where the puck wasn't going in, but certainly finding his stick and finding the back of his net as of late.
He really has. And like I said, just when this trade happened, if you had to get one guy, it had to be Gabe Vilardi from. And I know he had all the injury issues and his development might have gone sideways with LA. But you know, once he got healthy, here we are. And it's amazing to see what he's really done, how his career has taken off. And my last question to you is here. Look, we've been raving about this Jets team all night here on the pod. Is there one area that, A, is a weakness, but like, hey, you know, we need to kind of patch this up if we want to keep going here? And B, how high can they really go here? Because there has to be some kind of natural regression. I don't mean to be the rain cloud here at the end of the show, but, you know, let's face reality a little bit. 15-1 the rest of the way, you know, only having one loss, you know, through Christmas is really unheard of.
Yeah, and just Gabe Vilardi last year was an enlarged spleen that he missed time with. We had a lot of spleen talk on our show. As for areas for, you know, improvement, you know, it always seems to be second line center. Who's it going to be? Is Nemestikov going to be that guy throughout the playoffs? It certainly worked out, but Kevin Cheveldov has looked to upgrade. The one thing that the Jets don't have that you see a lot of Stanley Cup, you know, contenders, champions have, they need a 1B defenseman behind Josh Morrissey. He's your alpha. He's the puck mover. He's the Norris Trophy candidate. He's a power play guy. They don't have, you know, it's him, and then he's a tier above, I think, the rest. They need another 1B. You know, Neil Pionk certainly been that offensively last year, but if you're looking to do upgrades for this team, it would be at center. I think number two center. They've acquired number two center at the trade deadline several times, going back. Paul Stastny, they acquired him, you know, one time in midseason, one time off season. Kevin Hayes, Sean Monahan last year. So we'll see what they do this year there at the trade deadline. and defense as well. They've just gone with the depth defenseman. They did add Colin Miller as a depth defenseman last year. He ended up signing with the Jets. He's now in the number the third pair. But, you know, if you're looking for shopping, if you can get a guy, you know, like how Vegas, you know, traded for Hanifin last year, something like that. You know, there's Chris Tanev was a guy last year we talked a lot about at the deadline before he was dealt to Dallas. So we'll see if that, you know, we'll have similar conversations this year. I mean, as far as can it continue, I mean, they're going to lose a game eventually. They're not going to go 11, you know, they're not going to go one loss the whole season, or, you know, 30 and, you know, 15-1, 30-2, 45-3. I don't think that's going to happen. But this was a team last year that did contend for the, you know, first place in the West, for first place in the Central pretty much all season, fell off. So I think they certainly could get back there. Could they win the West? Not out of the question. They do have the top goalie. Could they win the Central? Certainly possible. I mean, their goal differential, plus 39. You know, Minnesota's having a great start, 10-2-3. They're plus 14. Dallas having a nice start as well, 9-5. They're plus 13. This has been incredible to watch. I'm sure there'll be some fall off, but I don't think it's going to be like to a fringe playoff team. They're in. They're going to contend for, you know, the top spot in the Central Division. And they did last year. And I think just because, I don't know, you look at their team, they don't really have a superstar skater like Kucherov or McDavid or MacKinnon. But this is a really good team with four solid lines. And they do have a lot of great offensive talent who can score. And they're keeping the puck out of the net as well. So everything seems to be working for them here after 16 games.
We're going to wrap it up here, Mike. Thanks so much for joining the show. I'd love to have you back on here. I'll give you a couple seconds to plug your work, where the fans can find you, and we'll catch you guys next week.
Sure. Winnipeg Sports Talk on YouTube and podcast. Just type it in on YouTube or your podcast provider every day at 1 Central, 2 Eastern live on YouTube. Goes on podcast after. That's Monday to Friday. Talking Jets a lot about the Blue Bombers as well. They're in the Grey Cup on Sunday. That's the championship game here. And if you want to follow me personally on X, M Remus, M-R-E-M-I-S, but on all socials, Sports Talk WPG is where you can find, or WinnipegSportsTalk.com. It's got all the links there.
Thanks for listening to the show. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. To catch all the latest, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook at The Hockey 411. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.